This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdal. We did a story a couple of days ago, I guess, about crypto and the war and how it was real handy to be able to use crypto to make seamless donations to NGOs and charities over in Ukraine, but also how it was real handy for Russia and Russians to be able to use crypto to get around sanctions, a double-sided Bitcoin, if you will. But look, we are still relatively early in the development of crypto economies. The idea, though, is here to stay. So today we're starting a month-long series to explain the nuts and bolts of it, literally how crypto works. And we start with Marketplace's Matt Levin on crypto mining, the upsides and the down.
There are no hard hats or soot or canaries involved in Bitcoin mining, at least non-metaphorical ones. But it does kind of sound like you're boring through the center of the earth. That's almost 100 rigs, basically hot-rodded computers, mining Bitcoin in a retrofitted shipping container in Omaha, Nebraska. The sound you hear actually isn't coming from the rigs themselves. It's what's keeping them from melting.
Just a bunch of industrial fans that kick on and kick off.
Edward Weniger rents out this facility to miners and does some of his own mining. It runs up a hefty utility bill.
We pay in the neighborhood of about $8,000 a month.
So what exactly are those things doing? Well, to answer that, you kind of have to know how a Bitcoin transaction works.
You want to pay me a Bitcoin for tutoring services rendered.
Robert Farokhnia is a professor at Columbia's Business and Engineering Schools. He's agreed to a tutoring session for the price of one hypothetical Bitcoin, worth about $40,000 right now. If I Venmoed or Zelled him the money, some financial institution somewhere would check to make sure I actually had 40 grand in my account. But Bitcoin doesn't do banks. The whole point is to avoid a centralized financial authority. So how does Professor Farokhnia know I'm not writing a bad check? Enter the miners who have a job to do.
Look at all your prior transactions since the first day you became a member of Bitcoin network to ensure that you indeed have at least one Bitcoin you could use to pay for my services.
The Bitcoin ledger, which can exist on your computer or mine or anyone's, is the blockchain. Picture about 700,000 stone tablets, the blocks, all lined up together with every transaction in the history of Bitcoin chiseled into them. Unalterable, irreversible. Miners leaf through the blockchain ledger, and if they say, yeah, Matt can cover this.
This transaction goes into a holding area called a meme pool.
That's basically the Bitcoin DMV. Thousands of pending transactions, about 3 per second from all over the world, sit and wait for their number to be called.
Now serving G076 at window number 17.
We're waiting on someone like Edward Weniger in Nebraska to call our number, along with about 2,000 other transactions sitting patiently with it. He starts chiseling our transaction on his own block, but
it's very much possible that multiple miners are going to select your transaction amongst others and put it in a block.
Miners all over the world, from Kazakhstan to Georgia, want to add their block to the blockchain. And there can only be one. So which miner wins?
In Bitcoin protocol, the miners are required to solve a mathematical puzzle that in essence is a search for a number.
This puzzle is generated by the crypto software, and it's really more like a lottery. Maybe the easiest way to understand it.
Imagine a slot machine, but as opposed to having 3 bars, it actually has 64 bars. So you can already imagine how low the probability of success is.
For any one pull of that slot machine arm, miners have about a 1 in 27 trillion chance of hitting the jackpot. Odds are literally better you'll be struck by lightning. And what is the jackpot exactly? The incentive for doing all of this in the first place? Currently, it's 6.25 bitcoins, which is right now worth about $250,000. This is mostly how Bitcoin miners make their money. The winning miner's tablet gets added to the blockchain, and Professor Farokhnia can spend his hypothetical Bitcoin. This happens once every 10 minutes or so. I know it sounds elaborate, but there's a reason it's done this way.
proof of work. I need to ensure that you have done the work verification correctly by imposing on you a task difficult enough to require electricity and resources and time and so on.
Proof of work is basically the theory that Edward Winogur in Nebraska wouldn't go through all this hassle if he was a big fraud. The original idea was miners would really just be nerds on a laptop with some spare time, one slot machine per miner.
But it turned out that all people realized, hey, Matt, you have two. I have another five at home. If you combine resources, you have seven, and then you have a higher chance of winning.
And as the Bitcoin jackpot soared, multinational mining companies started developing more powerful rigs and pooling thousands of them together. This is what concerns Eric Franklin, a professor who researches climate change at the University of Hawaii.
If you've got a high-end rig, you can basically have the same level of energy demand in a single day that I would have to run my three-bedroom house in Hawaii.
Bitcoin evangelists argue that you can easily run the rigs off renewable energy sources. Plus, they say it's not like mainstream banking is carbon neutral. Ethereum and other crypto platforms are experimenting with mining methods that are less energy intensive. But so far, the Bitcoin model is the dominant one. I'm Matt Levin for Marketplace.